Yes, ma'am. Who is it? Oh, Shirley. Y'all remember Shirley, too. She's kind of about day-to-day, isn't she? Or week-to-week anyway. So y'all remember Shirley McMillan? She needs our prayers. Well, again, welcome. It's Friend Day. And I'll say it again that I count it an honor to be here. If someone considered you a friend enough to invite you to the house of God. And that's what it's about. I've made this statement before, but we got a lot of new people, so I get to say it again. You guys that are here all the time get to hear it over and over. A couple of years ago, there's a magazine out that is a Christian cowboy magazine, and they wanted my testimony in there. So I said, sure, I'll do it. And they said, we want to take yours to the big rodeo in Las Vegas. We want yours to be the cover story. And we really, I said, sure, I'll do it. And I procrastinated, and I didn't do it. And he called me again and said, man, I got to have it. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I just kept putting it off. And finally, I thought, man, I've got to do this, or they're just going to pass me by. So I sat down in my living room, and I just kind of looked around at all the trinkets that I'd gotten, you know, through the rodeo years and stuff. And it just really hit me that none of that really matters. None of it really matters. It's all fodder for the fire. One day it's all going to be burned up. Can't take it with you. I'm proud that I have them, but none of that really matters. Only what matters is what we do for the kingdom of God. That is all that matters. It's the only thing that makes a difference in the world. I told my best friend that I wouldn't embarrass him. Y'all don't look around. Don't nobody. I said, don't look back there. But we rodeoed for longer than either one of us wanted to. I really don't want y'all to talk to him because he knows me better than my wife does. So y'all really don't need any information from him. If you want to know about him, I can fill you up with that, though. We rodeoed for ever since we was little bitty together. Went around the world together. You couldn't melt and pour him on a bull, but he wasn't scared to put me on the biggest, baddest one in the world ever. He'd do it every time. He had confidence in me when I didn't have confidence in me. And one day he called me up and he said, we talked about everything in the world. And he hung up and he called right back and he said, hey, I forgot to tell you. Man, I got saved. Amen. And I just started crying. We're in our 30s. I just started crying. He said, man, quit. You're going to get me to crying. I said, well, join me, man. And it made the whole time worthwhile. Every bit of it. He's won more championships than anybody I've ever been around, and none of that matters. What matters is he got saved. And I'm proud as I can be that he's here today as my friend. And I would tell y'all that if somebody invited you, man, you need to thank them. That they thought enough of you to say, hey, come to the house of God with me. Because we're praying that, you know, it's a life-changing experience. Mark chapter 4. We've just been kind of getting into the book of Mark. I apologize for being gone last week. We were church shopping. But Sherman was too far to drive. So now we did our little church rodeo roundup deal for the Grace and Bible Baptist last Sunday. Had a good time. Got to speak to that church up there. And then we did our little rodeo deal and just had a blast. I told them I didn't care whether they had fun or not, but we sure did. So Jerry and Judy was with me. They weren't church shopping either. They were with us helping. So anyway, we're into the book of Mark. The last Sunday we were here, we were talking about the parables, that Jesus began to speak in parables and teaching them a heavenly message with an earthly story. That's all a parable is. But he began to teach in parables so that they could have a better understanding of it. We talked about the sower and what the sower was sowing. Incidentally, the seed was never bad. The seed is the Word of God. It's never bad. What's bad or indifferent is the soul. That's the hearts that it fall upon. And you know, people ask me all the time, you know, so-and-so saved. Man, I don't know. I don't know if my wife is saved. You know, she acts more saved than I do, but I don't know. That's a personal thing between you and God. You see somebody go along for a long time. I saw a friend of ours last night. Stood right beside me in church for a long time. Just got out. Life's a mess. Man, I feel for him. I really do. He admittedly, you know, man, everything's messed up. I said, well, you know right, wrong, and how to make it back right. I mean, you do. Just do it, you know. I think he's saved, but, you know, he's definitely out of the will of God. So the heart is what we're talking about, and where the seed falls. He continues, Christ continues talking in parables here in the book of Mark, and he's going to give us a few more things that we can look at tangibly to say, oh, okay, I understand how that works. This is how the Spirit of God works. So after we pray, Mark chapter 4. Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for those who've come here to hear your word. Father, thank you for the friends who've responded to friends and came to your house. Lord, I pray that we have an overwhelming bunch today. Lord, that if there be one that come in here that's lost, today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, most importantly, and Lord, praise you for those who have come today, Lord, and thank you for them. Lord, we rejoice in the friends, and Lord, as they introduce themselves around, Lord, that they're just proud as we can be, Lord, that their friends would come and be in your house with us. Lord, be with our lesson, Lord, just turn our hearts and minds attentive to your word, in Christ's name, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought out to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. A candle is a unique little old invention. It's just a piece of a thread that's surrounded in wax. And it illuminates light. I mean, it puts off light. A candle can dispel darkness. Darkness brings fright. It brings indecision. I mean, you know, everybody says, I'm not afraid of the dark. Get where it's really dark. Get where it's really, really dark. You not know what your surroundings are. And then, not that you bump into something, but that something bumps into you. And see how it works out. You know, go to a place where you're not familiar with the surroundings. I remember in junior high school, back when I was still doing the athletic stuff, before we went to rodeo and we were doing the athletic stuff, we ran in the sewer system. Kirk's agreeing with me, like, yeah, that's normal. No, we got into the, you know, where the sewer and run under the streets and stuff in a little deal where you, I'm saying we ran, not as a gang or anything. Cross country running, we had some guy leading us, and he just went up in the hole, and we followed him. And I remember we went, if y'all are familiar with the area, we went from basically Haltom Road underground to Denton Highway, right down there by Belknap, underground. You know, and it got to where it was little old bitty, and I remember a time or two put my hand in front of my face and couldn't see it. You just kind of was touching the guy in front of you and somebody was behind you. And at one time I saw something go by and it was just a little bit of light and I stopped and I went to the light and I crawled out and we were about halfway to Denton Highway. I got out. I thought, we're following this idiot, which makes us all idiots. So I'm going to quit being an idiot. But the light dispelled the darkness that was in there. Light illuminates what's going on. It gives you understanding of, oh, okay, that's not a scary monster. That's just, you know, a big fuzzy bear. The faintest little glimmer of light dispels that darkness. You can't have enough darkness to dispel light. It doesn't work that way. Spiritually thinking, that's what Jesus did. You understand that the candle gives up itself. The candle burns down until there's no more. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He himself was consumed. The stars do it. The sun does it, which is the same thing. They're burning out. The miracle is the light, not the candle. You know, Jesus is trying to get them to understand here. First he said, the seed is the word. Don't worry about that. It's perfect. The light is the miracle. What we need to be is the sower or the candle. That's what we're called to do. He just gets finished talking about the sower. Man, you don't need an agricultural degree to broadcast seed. And all you got to do is just keep reaching in and handful after handful spreading the seed. That's all we're required to do, is just spread the seed and then sit back and wait. We can sit back. We can wait on, just time itself. We can pray. We can cry. You know, water it a little bit. We can do that. You know, some of us have an undying faith that God will save. Some of us do. And it's evident. You know, the lady that plays the organ, Miss Linda, her mom prayed every day for her husband. Every day. Y'all remember that? She prayed every day. Never come to church, didn't want nothing to do with it. On her mama's deathbed, her husband got saved before she passed away. But she prayed and prayed. Roberta, you know that, just over and over and over and over again. Miss Rainbow, I told y'all the story before. She used to go out on visitation all the time. She had a stroke. Right side of her face wouldn't work. She never missed visitation. You couldn't hardly understand her, but man, she was out there. You know, she was doing what she was supposed to do. Look in verse 23 says, If a man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, and what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, to you, and unto you that hear shall be given, shall more be given. He gives a word of caution here. Look where he says, take heed what you hear. That word of caution is we're to be careful what we're listening to. I don't mean the radio. I don't mean what kind of music you listen to. I mean the guys that profess to be men of God that stand forth and say, hey, here's what I'm giving you. This is the truth. And we would all agree that there's a lot of them out there that's not that way. Quite a few, I don't want to say what the ratio is, but there's a lot of them out there that's putting out stuff that's just false. That one day they're going to be in a great deal of trouble. Speaking of a great deal of trouble, I remain there quite a bit. Because I name names. I'll tell you right now that there's a guy just up the street. We drove past his church on the way here. His name's Kenneth Copeland. He's quoted in saying, Satan conquered Jesus on the cross. That's what he said. That's a lie. Jesus said, no man take my life. I lay it down myself. Satan didn't beat him on the cross. See, that's a lie. He's got part of it. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross, but he voluntarily gave up his life. There's no way that it could be taken. Satan didn't conquer Jesus on the cross. Benny Hinn, y'all know him. How many of you watch him? Come on. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, thank you. I know you're just flipping channels, right? Okay. All right. Benny Hinn said, never go to the Lord and say, if it be thy will, don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. That's what he said. The Word of God says that we're to pray, if it be thy will. Because all of us want to be in the will of God, we just don't always know if we are. Especially when we start going through troubles and stuff, and we look around and we go, wow, is it me? Is it something, you know, or am I out of the will of God? Am I in the will of God? Because realistically, we all want to be in the will of God. Frederick Price, who's another pretty well-known pastor, either a church or assembly of about 16,000 members, he's quoted in saying, God has to be given permission to work in this earth on behalf of man. It says God has to be given permission. If God has to be given permission, who's in control? Man is. I mean, that's just things that we would think well-known pastors or well-known preachers standing up there, you know, telling you, you know, what's the truth and what's right or wrong. And we have to be careful of that. Jesus himself said, take heed to what you hear. You know, be careful of how they do it. I listen skeptically. You know, it's hard for me to go to another church and sit and not just hang on every word of, you know, is he going to be right all the way through? It's difficult. It's difficult to go and sit and try and get something, worrying about, you know, is he saying the right things or doing the right ways of it going on. Again, this being Friend Day, what's better? I had this question. What's better? A guy who tells you that you have a low self-esteem, like Joel Osteen does. You know, he says, hey, you know, everything's okay. You got a low self-esteem. It's not that you're a sinner. You just got low self-esteem. You're going to be okay. Or is it the guy who shows you that you're a sinner and that you're bound for the pits of hell and try to get you out of it? Who's the real friend? You know, there's a chance that you'll lose friendship over it. But I'll also tell you that one day we'll all stand before the judgment throne of God. We'll all stand there and answer to what we did. I think, as Brother Crawford says numerous times, there's going to be people, that's where the tears in heaven are going to be. See, we've taught growing up, oh, there's no tears in heaven. Yes, there is. God's going to wipe away all those tears. But I think that we're going to stand one day, someone that we knew, you know, maybe a close friend or something else, in response to what God asked him, hey, what'd you do about my son? Heaven help us if they say, man, I don't know, I never heard of it. Well, wasn't he your friend? Why didn't you say? I mean, the most important question or most important issue that you face in life is that. And you don't try and explain that to your friend. What kind of friend are you? Our theme today was, again, let a friend down. The thought process is Jesus saw the faith of those of that guy's friends. That's what our process here is today. That you had faith that, you know what, if you'll just come, hey, I don't have the gumption to go and talk to somebody about getting saved, but man, if you'll come and listen to this guy or come and listen to the preacher, maybe it'll work. And that's a friend. That's a friend that grabs you by the collar and keeps you from falling into the pits of hell. That's a friend. You know, a friend can ask you to go a number of places, but who has the courage and gumption to ask you, hey, come to church. You know, let's get this settled up. Let's get this straightened out once and for all and see to if it doesn't nurture the friendship. And sometimes, again, they'll go away. Mark will testify, some of the friends that we had back when aren't really friends anymore. I mean, acquaintances now, almost. You know, and lives change, and we grow out of friendships and into friendships. But, you know, I remember seeing our friend last night, you know, and thinking, man, tell me what road you took to get to there, because I want to stay off of that road. And I don't want to get onto that road to where you end up back where you were at the start. Well, that's where he was before, and he got right back to there. And I don't understand it, but I'm not going to take the chance, you know, because it could just as easily be me. Verse 26. He says, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and should rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how." He's given him a parable here. He says, you throw that seed in the ground, and all you do is sit around and wait. If you plant a seed of corn in the ground, at about the third day, you'll see a little blade come up out of the ground. Somewhere in there. Scientists know that happens, but they can't tell you how it happens. They don't understand how that seed goes in the ground and dies and produces life. They can't explain it. All they do is, well, it's happening. We know it happens. There it is. They can't explain it. It's the same way spiritually with salvation. You know, we think we can explain it. I don't know. I don't know if I could technically sit down and explain how salvation process takes place on a heavenly scale. You know, the true meaning of it, we're going to have forever to learn that. But all we can do is plant the seed. That's all we can do is plant. Like I say, we can water sometimes by our tears. And then just have that faith. Again, our theme today is Jesus saw the faith of those four and that man was healed. And I know there's people here that kept an undying faith that God was going to save somebody they knew. You know, at 6-8 months ago, we verbally said, hey, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. And I'm telling you that three or four of them have been saved on that little short list we had because of our faith. You know, their salvation faith isn't huge right now. You know, they have enough faith to be saved, but, you know, they have to have a growing faith. We talked about this a week or so ago that, you know, if you question your salvation, it's because your faith is small. You know, as your faith grows and you get more strong in your spiritual commitment, you don't have that question anymore. You know, I fall in and out of the will of God hourly, but I never doubt my salvation, ever. I'm past all that. I know that that's been sealed and done. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing anybody else can do about it. It's sealed forever. I'm indebted to what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm indebted. He paid the price of my sin debt. That put me in debt to Him. All He asks us to do is be a witness. We don't have to put together a case. We don't have to explain how salvation takes place. All we have to do is witness. All we have to do is scatter the seed. You know, it's going to fall where it falls. Sometimes, you know, we see young people get saved and then they get up in their adult life or you know, later teens and they say, man, I had it up here, but I didn't have it here. I told y'all when my daughter went off to college, she said, Dad, I left with a knowledge and a working knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she said, when I got out there and was by myself, He's all I had. And now I have a relationship that's even stronger. You know, that's something that developed for her as her faith got stronger. Verse 30. And whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it to? Remember here, He's talking to His disciples. He says, hey, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Man, don't you know they went, all right, get your scrolls out and get ready. Here we go. We're going to get a description of the kingdom of God. Don't you know that they were excited that He says, hey, here let me look around and find something to compare the kingdom of God to. He searched through his mind and he said, well, it could have been David's kingdom, but he kind of messed that deal up. You know, King David was the greatest king. He messed the deal up. No, the kingdom of God isn't like that. Well, maybe his son Solomon, and he had it going on. But no, wait a minute, that one messed up too. That's not it either. So he couldn't compare any of the kingdoms that were there to the kingdom of heaven. So he says, here, let me compare it to this. Look at verse 31. It's like the grain of mustard seed. Don't you know they looked at him like he had two heads? You know, kind of looked at him sideways and went, huh? You know, the mustard seed is just the smallest seed in the world. It's very, very tiny. But it grows a big herb. It's a bush. It's not a tree, but it's a big bush from that little tiny seed. He says, let me tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. On earth, men don't think too much of that little tiny seed. They kind of scoff at it, but it ends up producing a pretty nice herb bush. That's the way the kingdom of God is. Men make fun of us today here. Y'all understand that? That we're made fun of. You know, we're crazy. We're holy rollers. I'm trying to think of some other stuff I've been called. It can't come to me. Come on, Brother McNeil. What have you been called? Huh? Yeah, what was Bible thumper? That's good. Yeah, yeah. So you're still running through them all, aren't you? But we're made fun of because people don't think, worldly, don't think much of the kingdom of God. You know, it's something that we'll address it someday. Someday we'll deal with it, you know, when we're old or, you know, when we're in poor health, we'll deal with it. Thank God He allows us to do that, you know. He says it's compared to like a mustard seed. Verse 31 says, which is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and cometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Here again is a picture of the church. It grows this big shadowy bush that the birds can come in and dwell in. The majority of the commentators that I read on this said, understand something. When that herb grows up and becomes this big bush, it has no regulation on what birds come in and dwell in it. It's not always the good birds. Sometimes it's the bad birds. You know, we just mentioned a minute ago that under the auspice of Christian preachers, they all fall into that. You know, sometimes it makes me cringe when somebody says, well, you know, they're Christians. You don't worry about dealing with them. They're Christians. It's a church. It'll be all right. We can do it. And sometimes they're the worst ones to deal with because they're not all good. You know, and we have to deal with that. You know, Jesus said that when the church grows up and it's here, all of them are going to fall under it. That's why he said a minute ago, take caution in what you listen to. Because not all of them are good. You know, that's what we got to do. If you ever go to a church and he doesn't open up the true Word of God and say, follow along so it's not me telling you, beware. Beware. You know, I tell people every Sunday, man, I'm just a pointer. Here, look at this. That's it. Just look at this. And then flip over there and look at that, and you'll see what God's trying to tell you. Man, all I do is say, there it is. You know, don't listen to my words. Man, I have it all messed up. But he says that so those fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It contains all of them. Good, bad, indifferent. Every one of them fall under that. We tend to break things down into this or that, right? You know, you're either Christian or Muslim. You're either, you know, Jew or Gentile. You're one or the other. Well, sometimes under that one, you got good, bad, and indifferent. You know, you got things that under the protective cover of, well, it's a church and man, they're big and you know, they got the old basketball center down there in Houston. Man, he must be on. Listen to him sometime. I told y'all one morning, I got up, turned the TV on, and old Joel Osteen was on there. And I listened to him for 30 minutes. I know, I've been accused of being crazy before. I listened to him for 30 minutes. And he was so upbeat and just so oozing with it. And he got to the very end, and he said, by the way, if you need to be saved, get saved. And I stopped it. We got that neat deal on the TV. And I ran it back. 17 seconds of his entire 30 minutes, he said, by the way, you need to get saved if you're going to. Never told me how, never showed me how, but that was what his pretense was, is, well, we showed him, we told him, you know, but for the whole other time, it was never mentioned. It's just, you know, everybody's going to be okay. God's a loving grandpa, and, you know, he's not going to send anybody to hell. God is a just God. And he was so correct. God's not going to send anybody to hell. We're going to do it ourselves. God wouldn't that any should perish. He gave his son so that none would die. Verse 33 says, and with such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. He only gave them so much that they could understand. You know, Paul tells us that as a young Christian, you're only able to take milk. You know, you can only digest that milk. You should, in your Christian life, be getting stronger and older and stronger and older and being able to take more and more and more in. I love teaching this class because I hope everybody's up to speed and can consume that meat. The meat is the best part. You know, milk's okay. You know, if you got cookies. But the meat's the deal. Several of y'all had me to your house. I'm meat and taters, period, still. Nothing else, you know. Don't waste no time in a garden with me. The meat is the best part of it, right? Kill a cow. Man, I'm telling you. The Treadwells are in India. They have the highest rate of where you don't eat. What is it? No, they're not vegetarian. Starvation, that's a good word for it. Highest rate of starvation in India. Little kids dying from starvation. Got 2 million head of cows walking the streets, tearing down their gardens, walking wherever they want. And that's a strange God. That's a strange God that will walk through and tear up the things that would feed you and consume the things that would feed you and let you perish. That's a strange God. And if those Hindus knew what I did to some of their gods, they wouldn't be too pleased, would they? It just irks me. 2 million head of cattle walking the streets. And my baby's sitting over there starving to death. I couldn't be a Hindu. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand to see my children starving because maybe that's Uncle Wayne walking down the street. I'm not trying to make fun, but doesn't that sound strange to y'all? I mean, does it? I mean, if you worship a loving God who cares for you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, why would He not care for you physically? That just doesn't make any sense to me. Look, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, He said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And they sent him away. They sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" We just said that. They're asking their Savior, do you not care for us physically? Now understand, they're in a small boat, probably 16, 18 feet long. It's not a big Mayflower ship, you know, that you're thinking about. And he's somewhere off that they... No, he's laying right there. The boat fills up with water because of this tempest that comes on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, you can see across it. Normally, when Jesus got in a boat and went to the other side to get away from the people, they just walked around the shore, and when he got there, they were standing there. I mean, it's literally that small. It's just a lake, but there's mountains on either side, and they didn't know when the storms would come over the mountain. They couldn't see on the other side. Storm would come, catch them out there in the sea. Here's the disciples with the Creator of the universe. He's laid down and asleep just right there. And they're trying to bail water and, oh no, we're going to all die out here on the sea. We're going to drown. And he goes to them and goes to him and says, "Carest not that we perish? What, you're sleeping and we're all about to die." This is one of my favorite passages because I love Jesus' response. Verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still." And we read that as a passing verse. We can all quote it. You know, Jesus said, "Peace be still," and boy, it's like glass. But think about the miracle that took place. When you take water and the elements of water, and they're all jockeying for positions and trying, you know, they're at war with each other. I need over there. No, I need over here. And the waves splash up. He told the elements, be still. And they obeyed him. Do you know how difficult, not for him, but just the process of here, these are all, you know, water. I mean, y'all know you can't make water be still. You can't. You know, you could say to that, you know, that pulpit, be still. Okay, good job. Sit, stay. Not a big deal. But if you had water moving around in any kind of vessel, to say, be still, even the elements obeyed him. That's what the guys were so amazed about. Don't you know that just flipped them out? You know, he stood up, he rebuked the wind, but he told the water, be still. Just, it went, I'm telling you, it didn't ripple. It didn't finish out. It just, I'm telling you, all the way over to the shoreline, it shut down. Right? He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Again, there they had watched him do miracle after miracle. They understood he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. And he looked at them and said, how is it that you don't have any faith? I can tell you today, without singling anybody out, my faith has been strengthened today by the people who came in this building. If you don't know who you are, we know who you are. My strength has been faith. My faith has been strengthened because we have prayed and we've seen results. My faith is strengthened because of people who that we thought, come on, we're human. We thought, well, they'll never make it here. We won't ever see brother so and so or shit. But you know what? Somebody had an undying faith.
Amen.
Somebody said, no, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep praying. Because Jesus said, you know, they asked him, don't you care if we perish? And he said, man, where's your faith at? People had an undying faith that kept praying for somebody, and God responded. Isn't that tremendous? You know, I feel like I know you because we mention your name every week in here. We don't. Those two do. Every week, I can single him out. You know, we came in, I said, hey, I already know who you are. Oh, I know who you are too. You know, we come in here and we mention our loved ones. We pray for them. You know, I love that my mom comes in and says, hey, pray for so-and-so. You know, and I go back to, my church is praying for you. Man, how good does that make somebody feel? I have people call me, hey man, can you get your church to pray for me? Your church gets results. We know, you know. Again, there's faith of friends in here today that their faith saw to it. God saw their faith, and here people are. You know, well, I saw a miracle today already. I saw people come into this building that most of us didn't think we'd see. I'm telling you, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord, right?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for all these who've come out. Lord, I pray that, Lord, something said here today, Lord, in the service would just touch hearts. Lord, change lives. Lord, let us know that you do care for us and that you do love us. Lord, that, Lord, you're never out of our sight, Lord, there's nowhere we can go to hide from you. Lord, that you're always caring for us. Lord, you cared so much that you gave your Son to die on a cross for us. Lord, we're ever indebted for that. Lord, help us to keep that mindful. Father, thank you for all these who've come today and represented friendship. Lord, that not only someone would ask them, but they would respond in the same way, Lord, to show themselves friendly. Lord, help us continue to grow in your love. Lord, be with our church. Be with Brother Crawford as he brings a message. In Christ's name, amen.